Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Talking about your favorite teams as you kick off your day. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, with Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, and Kevin Ingram.
Blaine Bishop taking his shirt off and twirling it around the room for the theme of the show. That's amazing. Welcome back in. Final hour of the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Jonathan Schaefer with the hitman, Blaine Bishop. Tennessee Lottery proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. 9 o'clock hour, more Titans talk coming your way. OTAs today, media availability as well, and you'll get plenty of tremendous coverage during the midday 180 today. Also during 3HL. The new folk hero of this town, Ryan Tannehill, will be available to the media. And I say that mostly in jest. But Rhett Bryan, executive producer of Titans Radio, in studio right now. And Rhett, it was our final take for take three. And the numbers were interesting amongst the crew that answered that question. The question, Marcus Mariota, how many games will he both start and finish in the 2019 season?
I'm going 14. I certainly hope it's 16. That'd be a first for him. And that means the Titans would be doing pretty well, I think. But I'm going to go 14, just knowing you face Houston twice in 3 weeks right there at the end. And there's some good defenses throughout the schedule in this whole thing. But yeah, 14, that's where I'm at.
There was a person that mentioned on Twitter earlier in the show that Mariota, when you look at his numbers, his raw numbers in terms of games started, games played for the Titans, not that bad. But would you agree that durability has been an issue with Marcus? Because even though he's been in some of these games, he hasn't finished all of them, and his health has been a concern, a big concern, going into quite a few of these games over the years.
Absolutely, durability is the question mark. And I'm glad you brought that up, because listening to you guys driving up I-65 this morning, I heard callers talking about, you know, his demeanor and his locker room, you know, how quiet he is and all that stuff. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. People mistake kindness for weakness with him, because he is a meek and mild type person with the aloha.
He's a heck of a competitor now.
Oh, he's fierce. It's ridiculous. Polynesian athletes are fierce with that fire. Well, I don't think you can question
speaking
his,
of that, Troy Polamalu with the Steelers, who was considered one of the nicest guys on a fierce right. competitor on the field.
He'd go knock your block off, yeah, man. Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's that similar mentality.
Right. And his toughness will never be questioned in my mind, because when you look at what he had when he did not play in the Indianapolis game in week 17 last year, we learned out he had a cracked vertebrae in his neck, torn plantar fascia, in his right foot, a lower abdominal muscle problem. I mean, he had a myriad of problems and was advised to, you know, not play in that deal against his wishes. He wanted to. The durability is the part of it. And I go back to what I heard you guys talking about earlier this morning with Steve McNair. His toughness and his availability playing through all those injuries is what set the bar so high for any quarterback that wears a Titans uniform to try to live up to. And the difference there, and Blaine can attest to this, in that 99 season when you guys went to the Super Bowl, you had a backup quarterback in Neil O'Donnell that went through a good stretch when Mac was out with his back surgery.
Yeah, I think he played six games.
Yeah.
And started six games.
Right. And did very well in that time. Of course, you guys were holding it down on defense and Eddie running the ball too. But, you know, that's where the Ryan Tannehill effect comes into this whole thing. In terms of, you know, upping the ante with a backup quarterback after what happened in week 17 against the Colts last year.
With the backup quarterback that they acquired in Ryan Tannehill, there is no competition. Mariota is the guy. Yep. That is what it's being said by J. Rob and Vrabel. But I thought when the Tannehill move was made, it was a brilliant move on the part of John Robinson to get that backup in here. You're basically paying him next to nothing of your own money, and you are putting somebody in there that at least his shadow, his presence, is going to push your starting quarterback who you're trying to evaluate moving forward.
Well, and not only that, but a guy with, 6 years of starting experience in a different team, environment, the whole deal, and can draw from experience of his own to help each other in that deal, not only to push Marcus, but to use as a sounding board going forward with anything that Marcus might have a question about. And I'm not saying that he's, you know, because he's a vet, he's not a rook, but I like the move on a couple of reasons. You mentioned the trade, the final deal with all that is basically given them a fourth round pick next year, and after washing out the funds with Blaine Gabbert, it's about $500,000. So the biggest thing is the fourth round pick next year. But I like the fact that he's doesn't have a decision to make until next year at starting quarterback or backup, where Tannehill, let's just say the wheels fall off, and Tannehill could be a bridge quarterback if they were to draft one, because the quarterback class in 2020 is going to be a lot better than it was even this year.
We talked about this some on the Big Six last night, which is available in archive form, 1045thezone.com. I'm Jonathan Schaefer with Blaine Bishop and Rhett Bryan from Titans Radio. You're going to have to pay a quarterback, whether it's Mariota, Tannehill,
right,
quarterback X. You have to pay that position. We all say Mariota will be most successful if Derrick Henry is also most successful this year. You're going to have to pay a quarterback. Then you're going to have to pay a running back. And there's a very good possibility that if Derrick Henry performs to the level that we all want him to and expect, Titans might not be keeping him then, if you get that far down the line.
Well, I mean, you could franchise him, but that's a number that you don't want to take, knowing that you're going to have to do something with quarterback. And, you know, you may be still unsettled at right tackle at that point, too. And let's not forget, the next guy in line to get paid is Kevin Byard. And he is going to get paid. And I think very soon. I have nothing to base that on, but time tells me it's time.
Well, and another thing that has existed for a long time amongst the fan base with the Titans organization, and I've never agreed with this, but this whole thought that the Titans are cheap, they go and pay their guys. They go and identify the ones that are going to get paid.
Sure.
Lawan being a classic example of that recently. They go and pay their guys. It's just you can't go out there and pay top dollar for every guy. And even though the circumstances are dictating this, Conklin's being one of those guys right now that, look, he was going to cost the Titans quite a bit of money moving forward, yep, in terms of that fifth-year option. You're not going to be able to pay everybody, but the Titans do pay when they identify the guys that they want.
They absolutely do. And you know, that's not to say that Derrick Henry might not get a deal, you know, worked out. I don't know what kind of monies you'd be talking about, but you need a bigger body of work from him. That's why this is so important for him to carry out what he did in the last really 5 weeks of the season. He had 215 carries in 2018. 97 of those came in the last 5 weeks. And I thought an interesting stat yesterday from a guy on Twitter, Marcus Mosher, in the last 500 carries, which Derrick Henry currently has career 501 is where he's at. Derrick Henry, 2,293 yards rushing, 22 touchdowns, 4.59 yards per carry. Ezekiel Elliott, which is one of the gold standards as a running back in the NFL right now, 2,255 yards in that same span of 500 carries, 13 touchdowns, 4.51 yards per carry. And behind that line of theirs. Now, that shows a little more wear and tear on the Ezekiel Elliott part of things, because
Zeke
has almost 900 carries.
And I would argue a line that's maybe better than the Titans.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But and Zeke's been used a whole lot more, too. He's got 868 career carries, where Derrick Henry's got 501. So yeah,
he's been productive at the last part of last season, that's for sure. 913 on the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Take your phone calls and also your tweets, your phone calls at 615-737-1045. You can also hit us up on Twitter at WZ1045. More Titans talk with Rhett and also with Blaine Bishop coming up. 9:18, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. 4-5, the Zone. I'm Jonathan Schaefer. Blaine Bishop, Kevin and Mark are out today, but joining us in studio, Rhett Bryan, executive producer of Titans Radio, as we will take your calls and your tweets. Of course, your calls about the Titans, 615-737-1045. On Twitter, at WUZ1045. We're going to get right to those lines right now. Chuck, you are on the Wake Up Zone. Good morning, Chuck.
I'm saying it was derogatory, something
else. Hey, Chuck. You want to be on, Chuck? I think Chuck got busy was the problem. I think he was at work and got a little
Chuck's
bit busy.
Chuck's a little multitasking.
Chuck, now Chuck was on hold for a while, so go ahead and call back, man. But looks like Chuck was getting some business done. MH in Green Hills, welcome into the Wake Up Zone.
Thanks, Rex. Thank you for taking my call. I was just riding around last fall one day, and it hit me like a ton of bricks that a professional football team is a corporation, basically. And the players are commodities. They're employees. And I am for them doing a walkout to get better health care benefits and retirement. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Appreciate that very much. And actually, Rhett, you and I talked about this the other day. Damaris Smith came out with some pretty big numbers and some pretty big claims getting the players and the NFLPA ready for an impending work stoppage.
Yeah, you're 2 years out left on the current CBA, and he sent a letter to all the agents to convey to their clients about saving monies back for a stoppage of at least a year. And I don't think that meant as it's going to be a long, drawn-out thing, just it would be smart to save for this window of time. And he urged that they save 50% of their salary and all of their performance-based pay and a few couple of other things like that. But, you know, I talked to Coach Dave McGinnis about that yesterday, and it's funny because he had the same kind of thought that I did. He said, in the NFL where you're turning over 30% of your roster every year, that message right now is going to guys who are sophomores in college who haven't saved anything because they haven't earned anything yet. And so there's where some of the problem lies in terms of trying to sock some money away for a rainy day.
615-737-1045, also on Twitter, at WUZ1045. Rhett, when we look at the Titans, of course, primarily the talk has been about the offense, and we'll get around to the defense in a little bit, but you were actually going through the schedule, the Titans schedule. I'm actually one of the people that feels that this schedule is not too bad of a schedule for the Titans. There's some quirks to it, especially with the Texans, two of the last three games of the season. But when you look at opposing teams' defenses up against this Titans offense, what's your thoughts just at a quick glance running down the schedule?
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Cleveland in week one, that's going to be a huge game for a noon kickoff in the league because they are the media darling. Everybody's expecting the Browns to be everything in the world, and I think it's the perfect game for them to fall flat. I think the Titans go in and win that one and win it big in week one.
Get them early. And they got the chemistry.
The thing is, they don't, you're right, they don't have the chemistry. The dog pound can be a vicious place to play. Mm-hmm. You know that. Mm-hmm. But you cut the pins out from under them early and get them playing from behind to score down, you can go get those dudes. But you've got two division games right after that. Week two, the Colts come to town, and then you're on the road to Jacksonville. And that's the problem I have with the schedule as it starts out, is you get three straight AFC games right out of the chute, and you better get some wins early on to start stacking those things as you move along. Because in week four, it gets a little easier because you go to Atlanta. You have the NFC South division this year. Buffalo comes to town in week five. Denver, you're on the road there in week six. And then the Chargers come to town in week seven. It's interesting, too. Just like a year ago, in week three, you're playing Jacksonville. In week five, you're playing Buffalo. And in week seven, you're playing the Chargers, just in different venues and places. But you have Tampa, who's got the same kind of questions that the Titans do with their quarterback. Carolina Panthers. I mean, there's some tough games in this thing. But what I don't like about it is you have a lot of stretches together there where you've got some serious AFC teams to go get wins against. But the great thing is you don't have really any cold weather games in this thing because you're going to Denver early. Buffalo's coming here. And you're playing the NFC South because you're not going to have much problems there. And I like how there's some of those where there's some back-to-back home games for the Titans, and there's not a whole lot of travel. I mean, there's a very friendly travel schedule.
You know, Brett, last year we played really great against those tougher teams. Obviously, the Patriots, and we fell against the teams that weren't good. Don't you think the schedule mindset would be, we got to be up every week this year instead of like, oh, we can let down against the Buffalo or whatever it is. I think they really, I mean, I thought that that would be a positive to have a tougher schedule because you have to get up.
I think you, I like where you're going with that, Morgan, and I think you're right because, and the numbers show it. It's really strange when you look at Marcus Mariota at times and certainly Corey Davis, who is going to be a huge part of whether the Titans have good success in this season. They played up to their opponent. And you're right. And Corey Davis is a prime example. Corey Davis, 65 catches, 891 yards, 4 touchdowns. He showed out against both teams that were in the Super Bowl. Against Philly, 9 catches, 161 yards and a score. Against New England, 7 for 125 and a score. That is 25% of his catches, 32% of his yards, and 50% of his touchdowns in 2 games. That's what the Titans need from Corey Davis every week if they can get it.
Wow. They should watch a highlight reel of that, you know, before every game.
Yeah. Get a little pump up there.
No, just to pump him up, just to remind him who he really is.
Yeah, because the dude can be a game changer.
Oh, man.
I mean, against that one against Philly in overtime, that was huge.
Yeah, some guys need reminding. Yeah. You know, like Derrick Henry needed someone to say something to him.
Yeah, needed someone to say
another
something.
Another Heisman Trophy winner to say something.
Yeah. And when Eddie speaks, people listen.
Yeah.
Well, there's no doubt about
really
that.
It's really weird. You're in a pro, but you need somebody to speak to you, though. They're paying you a lot of money.
Oh, you're still human.
Yeah. You know? Whoa. No. You are built as an athlete to do a job. So you need to have a conversation with somebody, not to give you tips on what to actually do, but to tell you to run harder. Really, and in all senses of matter, that's really what he did.
Well, Blaine,
the reason why I say that is nothing against Eddie or Derrick Henry. I just find that very weird. Really weird. This is something you've been dreaming of to play in a pro game. And he's a running back, which is really more all natural and the want to. You can't tell somebody, oh, run it this hole. Well, if that hole wasn't there, you can go run the whole other way. So I found it, and I don't know if it's just this generation of kids. Why did he have to have a sit down to tell him to run harder in all sense and simplicity about how to play in this game?
Well, but we're all saying that that's the moment. We're all saying that the Eddie George talk, him doing that, that's the catalyst for all that. Do we actually know if that's what it is, or that's just what we're saying?
I don't think we know 100%.
I don't think Derek Henry denied it.
But
I'm not saying, but it's 100% the reason that turned him around, though.
Well, it just was a coinkadink.
Yeah, so but maybe he was performing better, and for whatever reason, that was some sort of a catalyst, though.
But Blaine,
who knows what it takes for anybody to get on to another level? Everybody's different.
Hey, listen, here's what I'll say to that. Then he ain't my guy. I don't need to pump up my guy to be who he think he should be. That ain't the dude then. If you're an elite, this guy's been elite at every time he stepped on the football field at every level.
Blaine,
just go show him in the national championship game.
Well, Blaine, I'll tell you.
Did they pump him up that game? Nope. They pump him up when he came out of high school when he was the number one player in the nation. Not the running back, nation.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Blaine, weird, though. You said something a minute ago. I don't know if it's this generation of players. I think that is part of the deal. A head coach has 53 guys with 53 different personalities and always have had. But I think millennials and Gen Xers may be different in how you have to approach them.
That's the only thing that I could really explain to me. That.
Well, and again, as Rhett mentioned, though, it's a different generation. So your generation's different than what maybe Derrick Henry
needed. My generation to tell him.
It took whatever it took. That's all that matters. It took whatever it took.
I'm just telling you.
So
that was weird.
9:27 is the time. Rhett Bryan in studio from Titans Radio. He's Blaine Bishop. I'm Jonathan Schaefer. Morgan Alexander behind the glass. More of the Wake Up Zone powered by the Tennessee Lottery coming up.
Right now, the Wake Up Zone. Coming up at 10, it's the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone.
.934, the Wake Up Zone. As Rhett Bryan is getting motivated like Derrick Henry was after talking to Eddie George.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know how Randy Macho Man Savage walked into the studio, but he did.
He did it through pomp and circumstance,
yes,
right there.
Yes, he did.
Didn't need a mortarboard or a cap and gown, none of that. He came in there with sunglasses and glory and lots of tanning bed.
And Slim Jims.
And, yes, into
we have to have some
Well, speaking of Slim Jim, this guy's not very slim, but he is a Jim. And I mean,
okay.
We hope anyway. maybe he will, maybe he will not. Who is Frank Heron that we just signed here from, I think he came from.
He was a 4-year guy at LSU.
From the Patriots, maybe?
Yeah, D lineman, and was on the Patriots practice squad all of last year. That's all I know about him so far. But yeah, I know they just picked him up. Yesterday,
right.
I guess it was.
All right. There's three quarterbacks in Titans history, and these are the stats of them. Jim Wye did a great piece on them, and I just want you to guess who they are after I tell you. And I'm just going to tell you the win-loss. All the other stats are kind of about the same, except for the passing yards, naturally, Marcus.
Okay.
And this is over their first four seasons in their league.
Sure.
So they're pretty much even, except, you know, a little here and there passing yards per game, which Marcus leads because they throw the ball a lot more. But 28-28, that's one guy. 27-18 is another guy. And 23-22 is one of the guys.
Well, the better winning record, I'm going to guess, is going to be Vince Young.
Yep, 27-18.
Yeah. And then one, obviously, is McNair, and the other one is Mariota. And I'd say...
one was 28-28.
Yeah.
23-22.
28-28 is Mariota.
Yeah.
And 23-22 is McNair.
Right. So comparable stats throughout the time, besides Marcus throwing for 12,000 yards, and they're neither one of them are, well, McNair's at like 7,600 and something.
And it's a different league.
Different
era, didn't play as much early on.
The one thing that but you can look at, though, is passing percentage. I think that's very important for the quarterback. And Marcus is at 63.2%. VY 57.6 and McNair 56.1. And Marcus was sacked 130, VY only 62, and McNair 79. So when I look at those stats, I don't even know what to draw from that, because typically you're looking at something that's glaring to you when you look at all these stats. And the bottom line is always about wins and losses for the quarterback.
Sure.
Those are all relatively the same, except for BY, who's the winner in all this, who you would put on a peg, is third on this list.
Yeah.
I don't care who you can debate over. Well, we know McNair's number one, but BY is number three, and he has more wins and losses. How is that? What did you read when you read the Jim Wye's? You know,
well, the one that stood out to me, and you guys brought it up as I was coming in this morning, is the sacks part of it. 130 times for Mariota, regardless of whose fault it is, whether it's line, whether him hanging onto the ball too long or whatever, is way too much. And to your point earlier in the show, too, about hurries and pressures and hits that you take when you release the ball. I mean, that is outrageous. And I'll say this, the rest of it in terms of the numbers, yeah, Mariota's numbers look so much better, but we're in a different league now. If Mariota played when they played, certainly when Steve McNair played, he'd probably have comparable numbers to what they have.
Well, to his credit, Marcus threw 1,605 times, and Steve McNair is at, you know, 1,130.
Right, because he didn't play as much to begin with, because they had Chris Chandler.
So their numbers, they're really about the same. I mean, close here or there, but... man, it's just when you look at those numbers, and it just, you can't really tell who was the better quarterback. If you didn't know anything and you're looking at these numbers, it's hard to do because we saw them all play. Who was the better quarterback? It looks like Marcus is actually the better quarterback to a certain extent.
Right. And I think the interesting thing to me was the rushing stats for all three of those guys, because they're very comparable in terms of yards per carry and all of those things.
Here's a little something.
I don't know if I want my quarterback running a lot like that, but yeah, they were.
Here's a little something to put next to that. What about the drive killers? You talked about sacks. That's kind of a drive killer sometimes when you get, you know, sacked and then all of a sudden it's second and long or third and longer or whatever. You know, and the penalties on the offensive line where, you're holding and you get a drive killer. I mean, that will kill a game too. You know, you're trying to move down the field and all of a sudden you can't even move down the field anymore, and that will kill your game.
Well, especially if you're, you know, playing from behind to score, playing down, or just the offense is sputtering.
The game plan goes
because
out the
of those
window.
Kinds of things.
Right.
Sure.
Well, and Mariota is at his best when, of course, number one, when he's healthy, but number two, he does such a good job. He can't extend the play, although I don't think that's even his best quality. When he is able to turn it and go downfield and take a play that was going to look like a negative or a broken play, and he gets 6 or 7 yards, or it's second and third and intermediate, and Mariota is able to use his legs and go out and get a first down. What was always impressive with me with Mariota is that because of his ability to run, he's getting you 3, 4, 5 first downs with his legs that can lead you to another touchdown or 10 points in a game.
And I think that is also reciprocal, because if Derrick Henry is having a great game running, it's going to open up another threat for him. And then let's not forget the Adam Humphrey signing, who is a first down machine to help those kinds of things. So it's all reciprocal. But yeah, absolutely. I feel like, and this is silly to say in general terms, but for Mariota, and I think a lot of quarterbacks are this way, but I think Marcus is a rhythm kind of thing. He has to find his rhythm early. I think those first 15 plays, whatever they are, passing under Arthur Smith, I think it's important to get what he likes and makes is comfortable with to get him in a rhythm, because we've seen Marcus when he gets in a rhythm and gets a little...
Oof.
He's special. Deadly.
Yeah, he's special.
I mean, he can move, and that's the thing that everybody wants to see going forward if he's the quarterback going forward.
Or he can get it in by running.
Right. He's a dual threat that way.
But he's more of a target, though, when he's running.
That is
you
true.
Get 3 or 4 more runs and opportunities, but also he then becomes the target.
That's yes, right. The crosshairs. Yeah.
That's absolutely. The 6 of 1, half dozen of the other, double-edged sword, whatever cliche you want to put in there. That's the truth. That's the reality of the situation.
Have you done any research, Rhett, on where has Marcus gotten hurt the most? Inside the pocket or outside the pocket?
I have not done the research. I would be interested to see those situations.
If you were to guess, then.
I think if I were to guess, I would say inside
the
pocket.
Me too, because he doesn't see them coming.
Because, I mean, you take the play on Christmas Eve in Jacksonville when he got the leg broke. That was an inside mm-hmm. play right there. He was not hardly out of the cylinder when that happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm just using that as one example. But I would think it'd be inside the pocket if I had to guess, because the dude's got some wheels. I mean, everybody's as big. Right. Everybody's as big and strong as fast as you are at this level, but he's got some wheels.
Not as fast as Mark Marcus.
Point I want to bring up when we come back from the break in the final segment, Rhett, and you can think about this. The guard play for the Titans last year in protecting Mariota. That's one thing I want to mention when we come back. 9:42. This is the Wake Up Zone powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. .947, America's Music City, a.k.a. Music City, USA. And also, most recently, your home for the most successful NFL draft ever.
Trying to humble keep all brag. This graduation music going, by the way.
Hashtag humble brag.
A bittersweet
no
symphony.
Brag is no ever humble.
No. You looked at me so sternly when you said that. That was great. He's Blaine Bishop. I'm Jonathan Schaefer. Kevin and Mark are out today. Rhett Bryan in studio, executive producer of Titans Radio. Morgan is playing the music for us. Final segment of the Wake Up Zone powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180 coming your way. Before we get to the topic of the guard play for the Titans last year, and of course coming up this year, OTAs today. I know we'll have plenty of live coverage on Midday 180 yep. and also through HL.
Gonna yeah, and then you're going to video the whole practice.
And he's well, not yeah, going to be allowed that, to release
that's
it.
Say something we yeah. can't do?
He's I not think, allowed to live stream it.
I think Robbie Bourne and his staff might have a problem with that, and Mike stream. Vrabel would have an even bigger problem.
Oh, man.
Yeah, coordinators stream. Today, so we'll hear from Arthur Smith and hopefully get some answers from him about you know what he's thinking. He's not going to divulge a lot to us, but kind of get his idea of philosophy.
No, the first question I want you to ask okay. Arthur Smith, please ask him this question. Who's the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans?
No. What?
Did I troll.
Oh, man. But yeah.
Coordinators. Or ask him about Tannehill. When I asked him about marking.
Coordinators, then OTA practice.
Preparing him for the season.
Yeah, and then Vrabel and a couple of players after that. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on at St. Thomas Sports Park today.
The guard play was not great for the Titans last year, as graded out by Pro Football Focus. Sure. So that even goes into the Marcus Mariota conversation from last year.
Yeah, it does. And I'll go shotgun style here in a minute. The top questions, I think, going into this season, and I may have missed some things, but O-line solidification is one of those questions, because Quentin Spain, I have nothing against Quentin Spain whatsoever, who is now a Buffalo Bill.
Good dude.
But all he did was hold off what little competition they threw at him for that left guard spot. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He did his job. So there's that. The one thing, the one signing or extension that I did not agree with John Robinson, one of the first things I didn't agree with him as general manager, is giving all the money to Josh Klein at right guard a year ago. And he realized it, and that is no longer an issue. Now, Roger Saffold coming in is huge for multiple reasons. One, he's your left guard. He can play left or right tackle, left or right guard. The only thing he hadn't played on the line is center. That will instantly make a Ben Jones better, a Taylor Lewan better, and then the right guard. I think if you had to look at it right now, Kevin Pomfiel is probably your right guard starting. And with Nate Davis, the draft pick from NC Charlotte, coming along later on and taking that, I think guard play is going to be a lot better, which is going to parlay into all these conversations about Marcus and the run game and everything else.
So the guard play, we're talking about the offensive line, and a couple things we haven't talked a lot about on this show, or really the other shows, because I think going into the season, we're pretty confident about them. The defense under Dean Pease, which Dean Pease staying with the team may be one of the biggest offseason transactions, really, for the Titans, and how good the special teams core is when it comes to the kicking game.
Absolutely. Dean Pease coming back after a medical scare on the road in Indianapolis was huge relief to me and I think a lot of Titans fans, because people talk about elevating Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator for the continuity for Marcus and the offense. Well, that's the same thing for the defense, especially with all the veterans who now have a year under his system under their belts to get things going. But yeah, that is a huge deal. And really the only question I have on defense, because I think Craig Aukerman's got a great special team staff on defense, is pass rush improvement. And that is one of the points of emphasis in this thing. Brian Arakpo's retired. Derek Morgan is a free agent. You brought in a 37-year-old Cam Wake, who is a monster and a beast and an anomaly at 37.
But I do want to bring up with Cameron Wake, though, and we actually mentioned it on the Big Six last night, is that looking at it with Cameron Wake, yes, an Adonis physically, and can still play at that age.
Yes.
I'm throwing all of us in this group, we tend to think that he'll be best on limited snaps, but he's saying, and Mike Vrabel's saying, he's going to be seeing plenty of action in there.
And, you know, I think that's how, I think if Cam Wake doesn't have too much pride to say, hey, I'm getting a little low in the tank, if he gets worn out at some point in the season, but I think he wants to play as many snaps as he possibly can. I think Mike Vrabel wants him to as well, because even at 37, you look at some of those Pro Football Focus numbers, he's one of the more productive pass rushers in the NFL. And certainly at his age, he's in a class by himself. But you got Harold Landry on the other side, his second-year guy. Harold Landry, I hope, has developed another move to his repertoire. He's a good fastball pitcher because he can bend and move and get down there, but that's all he had last year, and he played off that athletic strength. I want him to have another counter move in his arsenal to make him better. And then you bring back Sharif Finch, who was an undrafted rookie free agent, who I thought is a nice player. And then listen, that's one of the guys that I'm going to be watching today and moving forward, is a guy like Derek Roberson from Sam Houston State, who was an undrafted rookie free agent, who might have a real chance to make this team, just because there isn't a huge depth pool at the outside linebacker pass rusher spot. But the other thing that's going to change, too, is Rashawn Evans is going to get his wish and play inside and outside, because he came to Alabama as a pass rusher. and was moved inside, but he can play both. And I would love to see him and Landry in a package together, or him and Wake in some rotational stuff. That's the real question I have on defense. Everything else is offense.
Man, when you were talking about Cameron Wake, though, we had Washburn on, who coached Cameron Wake, and I said, well, why was his number so low at the beginning of the season? He said because there was an injury to a player, and he was getting too many snaps. He was a starter, and he didn't, you know, he wasn't just a pass rush specialist, or, you know, played more than just pass rushing, and that he got tired as the season went on, and then he kind of revved back up once that guy came back, and then he was getting more situational, maybe playing half the snaps, let's say, and his performance then skyrocketed back up. You know, I think he finished like 6 sacks, you know, in 6 games or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So that was in it. That's who coached him. Actually, he coached him. He said he coached him. I think he said he coached him, or he wanted him to come to the
Titans. Jim Washburn was down there.
The Dolphins.
Right, right.
Yeah. So,
and that would lend to think what we've been talking about maybe keeping him on a pitch count to get the best effort and maximum pressure out of his.
But we all know, though, when he's already the best pass rusher on the team initially right now, that's hard to do.
Sure.
As a coach. I get
absolutely.
It. And hey, man, you out there.
And that's why you need.
Until you get tired, you out there.
And that's why you need a Sharif Finch in year two, and an important thing to have that continuity with knowing Dean Pease defense to come along, and some of these other cats in a rotational basis to help out in that effort.
While you're out there today, as we wrap up things here on the Wake Up Zone, who else will you be looking at specifically at OTAs?
A lot of the undrafted rookie free agents. There's 3 or 4 that I think can make this team, because there were that made the team last year.
Right.
Derek Roberson's one. The running back, Alex Barnes from Kansas State, like that guy. And I'm telling you, if he can play special teams, David Flewellen might be in trouble. The guy is a beast. I mean, he's
always trying to get rid of flu season.
Trying to get rid of him.
No, I mean, you know, he's in a position at third string. You're always going to be in that position.
Right. But and if Alex Barnes can't play special teams, then flu season reigns and continues. But Alex Barnes, he is a big time threat in terms of this. I mean, he can get the ball out of the backfield. He's got a 38.5-inch vertical leap, decent speed, and good size. I mean, he's a big back.
I don't want to live life without David Flewellen on the Titans. Come on, man. Death
Blue
taxes and David Flewellen.
Keep around one more forever. Year just in case you lose Henry and he's in a, you know, emergency gotta backup now.
Look, I want to see some more A.J. Brown today, too. Yeah. That guy's going to make an immediate impact.
Can't wait.
Well, we're all very excited about A.J. Brown. Thank you so much. We are wrapping things up here with the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Tennessee Lottery proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. Rhett, pleasure. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, dig it.
Rhett Bryan, executive producer of Titans Radio. He's Blaine Bishop. I'm Jonathan Schaefer. Same bat time, same bat station. Coming up tomorrow, Wake Up Zone. 104.5 The Zone. Have a good one. Peace.
Yeah.